This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen. New True Niagen Pro contains a unique form of vitamin B3, clinically proven to safely increase NAD, which is a vital resource used every day to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. NAD is critical for energy and cellular repair and supports muscle function. But as we age, NAD has been found to decline up to 50%. True Niagen Pro is clinically proven to safely increase NAD levels, caring for your cells to help you age better and live better. True Niagen Pro is only available through healthcare practitioners. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com to get yours. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine podcast. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, and we're answering your questions. What's our next question, Layla?
Oh, we've got one from Daniel. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. My dad, who is 67 years old, was diagnosed with glaucoma in both
67
eyes.
67 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's only a year older than I am.
Oh, okay. Was diagnosed with glaucoma in both eyes. Besides prescribing drops to help slow down the progression of it, he was also advised not to do any weight training so it doesn't increase his eye pressure.
Right.
I'm wondering if, in fact, this is the case, and could you share any supplement recommendations? I was reading about pycnogenol and magnesium as two supplements.
Well, actually, I wrote a nice article on glaucoma supplements fairly recently in the last year. But in terms of exercise, I mean, it is true that when you... You're bench pressing, 250 pounds, you're going to increase your intraocular pressure, which may not be good. On the other hand, exercise is very beneficial for glaucoma. Exercise may protect you from glaucoma. Mm-hmm. Research suggests that exercise, especially moderate to vigorous intensity aerobic exercise, jogging, brisk walking, cycling, swimming, that this actually can... reduce your risk of glaucoma and maybe improve the prognosis of existing glaucoma. So I would not recommend stopping exercise, but I would maybe, shy away from very heavy
weightlifting
resistance training. But
do aerobics.
Resistance training can be done almost in a circuit fashion with relatively lighter weights.
And that's true.
At 67, that's not a bad way to go anyway.
Yeah.
Instead of like
lighter weights and more reps. Yeah.
Grab the 10-pound dumbbells and do.
Yeah.
A lot of
or do the bands.
Curls or use, resistance bands and do, 20 or 30 reps.
Yeah.
And
that lighter weight.
And also watch your heart rate because your heart rate will be raised as if you were doing aerobic exercise. Mm-hmm. So
it's still aerobic to do lighter weight training.
I think that doctors sometimes tell people about exercise, they don't understand. They don't know exercise. Many of them don't exercise.
Yeah.
So they just say, "Oh, avoid this. Avoid the weight room." Okay. Well, now this guy's
going
to do nothing.
My treadmill's in the weight room.
Now this guy's going to do nothing.
Gonna...
His metabolic syndrome's going to get worse, which makes glaucoma worse.
Yes.
And that's so. It really he needs a more custom recommendation for exercise. Like, don't be heroic. Don't. Mm-hmm. The exercise where you feel like your eyes are going to pop out of your head. Don't do that.
That feeling, right?
Right.
So Daniel's also wondering about supplements, and he was reading about pycnogenol and magnesium. What do you think of those, Dr. Hoffman?
Good.
I would imagine they're both good.
There's actually some interesting research on glaucoma and vitamin B3.
Niacin.
Nicotinamide.
Nicotinamide. Okay.
Or niacinamide. Mm-hmm. But in particular, I think what's going to be promising is, it hasn't yet been completed yet, but there's ongoing research on nicotinamide riboside and glaucoma, because glaucoma is, we tend to think of it as a pressure disease.
Yeah.
And to some extent, it's a pressure disease.
Yeah.
But it's also a disease of neurodegeneration, where even sometimes you have what's called normal pressure glaucoma, where the optic nerve is degenerating. And so therefore, things that support the nerves, high energy mitochondria, are helpful. So, yes, pycnogenol
is helpful.
Nicotinamide riboside.
Let me get to my list. What you need to know about glaucoma. Glaucoma is associated, okay.
Magnesium is definitely one.
Antioxidants, but especially vitamin B3. Latest research has revealed, I actually remember what I wrote. It's amazing. I had to read more of my articles.
Yeah.
That nicotinamide vitamin B3 can stave off vision loss in an animal model of glaucoma. So that's why I'm excited about True Niagen. And also there's some evidence that marijuana may be helpful.
For glaucoma. It can help prevent it, I believe.
But I will say that, interestingly, the research hasn't carried over to CBD. And I don't know if I would recommend CBD for glaucoma at this point.
Okay.
You know, optimize your weight, eat a low-carb diet to combat insulin resistance, exercise, but
go... That can help your numbers go down.
See, even in this article I wrote, but go easy on heavy weightlifting or inversions. You know, some people do those inversions.
Downward dog and all that.
Some people, like, do those incline sit-ups or something, know, where
they're,
you're putting more
pressure.
Head is
way down. Yeah.
Some people actually literally hang upside down, but, you know, which is said to be beneficial, but not good for this. Take omega-3, take magnesium, antioxidants. Ginkgo biloba actually was found to be helpful in one study, EGCG. Melatonin even has some benefits. Vitamin D may have some benefits.
Yeah. Very good.
Right.
Very, very good.
So there you go.
Exercise, definite
check
exercise.
Check out my article.
Be careful. Okay.
If you go to drhoffman.com and you put glaucoma into the search, or just put write glaucoma Hoffman, you'll get that article.
Mm. Daniel, thank you very much for your question. Best of luck to your dad.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen. New True Niagen Pro contains a unique form of vitamin B3, clinically proven to safely increase NAD, which is a vital resource used every day to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. NAD is critical for energy and cellular repair and supports muscle function. But as we age, NAD has been found to decline up to 50%. True Niagen Pro is clinically proven to safely increase NAD levels, caring for your cells to help you age better and live better. True Niagen Pro is only available through healthcare practitioners. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com to get yours.
We have a question from Michael. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I love listening to your podcasts. I find them very informative, and I appreciate all the work you do. Thank you for listening, Michael. I'm wondering if there are vitamins that are particularly beneficial if taken in the morning, and or if taken in the evening. Could you address this?
Okay.
Well, I think energizing vitamins are probably better off taken earlier in the day. What are the energizing vitamins? Maybe something like a B12, possibly DHEA, maybe EGCG.
You know, I think it depends.
It really depends
because
too.
Some people find they have no, it's like coffee.
Yeah, I could drink a cup of coffee and then go to bed and go right to sleep.
Not me.
Kind of thing.
No,
yeah. Not me, but right. I'm saying as an example.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, yeah.
But
not me either.
It's not even based on your response to caffeine because it may have to do with the way your nervous system is set up. We actually can get a genetic prediction on that now with some new techniques that we're using to help advise people. You know, should you take the B vitamins, for example, before bed? Because for some people that can be excitatory. Okay. So. Yeah. Let me take you back in a time machine to 35 years ago.
Okay.
When I was a young physician. And so I was just starting out in practice. And I learned of a guy who was treating cancer with amazing results. His name was Dr. Emmanuel Ravisi. And I said, this is fascinating. I'm going to consecrate a day a week to spend, you know, at my expense, because then I wouldn't be able to see patients, but I wanted to learn at his feet. He was then in his 80s, or he actually might have been turning 90 at that point. He practiced well into his 90s. For decades, he was one of the premier alternative cancer practitioners in New York and around the world. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Avici had this theory that they were anabolic and catabolic vitamins, and that the anabolic vitamins were things that, I guess it was, you took them in the morning, and the catabolic vitamins you took in the evening. And he somehow categorized this into anabolic and catabolic. Mm-hmm. Gary Null, I think learning from him, picked up on this, and he developed a line of AM and PM vitamins. And then advanced the idea that some vitamins were best to take in the morning, this and the other. Well, I don't know if that scheme was right. You know, 35 years later, I mean, shrouded in the mists of time, I don't know if all his suppositions have withstood the test of time. Okay. But at least there was an attempt to differentiate between vitamins you took early in the day and vitamins you took later in the day. I think there's some evidence that things that help bone might be made available at night.
Yes.
You know, so
like calcium.
Yeah, because a lot of the bone remodeling can occur during sleep.
Yeah.
Right?
And a lot of repair processes that include things like that, the bone repair.
Or even muscle repair. I mean, there's actually some evidence that if you take like branched chain amino acids at night, they go to work, you know, with this nightly surge of growth hormone that may be promoting repair and restoration.
Which is happening anyway while we sleep, but maybe enhanced further.
Yeah. So
and therefore beneficial.
It is far from rocket science.
Yeah.
What to do? I mean, magnesium might be energizing in the morning, but on the other hand, it might have a mild sedating effect at night, a relaxing effect.
It doesn't matter what type of magnesium I take; it's sedating.
For you?
Yeah, I've got to take it after dinner.
Oh, interesting.
Or I'll just get very.
You're very sensitive.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well. All right.
That's right. Yeah.
And you know, he would have an explanation for that because, you know, it would speak to the anabolic or catabolic character of your metabolism that he was able to ascertain through his methods, you know, metabolic typing.
That's interesting.
But, you know, I think a lot of that is just sort of lost art that we don't now find that relevant.
Yeah.
As newer paradigms have supplanted that.
Coming back to Michael, other vitamins that may be energizing for some people and who may have trouble sleeping as a result or are very sensitive that way, maybe things like ubiquinol, CoQ10, they might do better taking at lunchtime, at breakfast time.
I think some people really feel they get a buzz from those things.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't, but.
Yeah. I've only simply felt more energetic, not buzzy, well, like I had a cup of coffee and now I'm wired.
Speaking of energizing, the True Niagen, for example, the nicotinamide riboside product, I mean, I can take it in the morning, I can take it at night, it doesn't even be a problem. Some people say they can only take it earlier in the day because it gives them so much of an energy boost. In my mind, these things are not like caffeine.
Yeah.
They are sort of subtle energy boosters, but they don't give you that sort of hypercaffeinated buzz.
Exactly. It's not hitting your adrenals and causing them to secrete, you know, catecholamines or epinephrine or
something.
So it doesn't work that way.
Right.
And coming back to caffeine and the genetic testing, those who are slow metabolizers of caffeine do better. Those are the people who can't have a cup of coffee after dinner. They cannot.
You know,
or they won't sleep.
Some of this has to do with one gene called COMT. It's catecholamine methyl transferase. And so what that does is it actually breaks down the catecholamines.
Mm-hmm.
And some people robustly break down their catecholamines.
Ah.
And some people are intermediate.
Mm-hmm.
And some people don't break down their catecholamines very well. They're very sensitive people. They are sensitive to B vitamins, for example, which promote catecholamine synthesis. So those are the people for whom, say, they are given a homocysteine product, you know, like with B6 and lots of B12 and folate. Those people with a COMT variant that we can detect genetically they just get to buzzed from B vitamins.
Yeah.
And so we could maybe look to that as a way of determining whether people shouldn't take things later in the day. That's,
yeah.
I mean, if we're trying to boil it down to just science, it's a science that is just trial and error.
But the other thing about, say, for instance, the Super B complex formula, it also contains inositol, which beautifully counteracts any kind of too much energy or buzzy activity feeling, that kind of a thing, because inositol is terrifically sedating. It's great for things like anxiety. And I think the inositol in some B-complex formulations can counteract that.
Yep.
So for those taking Bs, look for one with inositol in it. I like Super B-complex for that. You can get that at drhoffman.com. So, yeah, I'm trying to think of others taking it. For me, in particular, I'll say to Michael, you know, magnesium, I take that in the evening, because if I take that earlier in the day, I get very, very kind of calm and feeling goozy and sedate. And that, you just, I'll just sit here.
Well, there's another kind of thing feeling that should be taken at night is probably progesterone, because progesterone has a calmative effect.
Yeah.
So it's going to help sleep, but it might, could make you a little.
Right.
Too chill.
I don't think Michael's taking any progesterone.
No, okay. Okay, so, you know, after that long, you know, very, like very torturous discussion. It ain't rocket science yet.
It's not rocket science yet. That's right. Okay. Thanks for that question, Michael. Let's see here. We've got an email from Susan. I got terribly bound up for 6 months on the specific carbohydrate diet, even though I was eating tons of vegetables and fruit, and I lost weight that I couldn't afford to.
Oh.
I added back grains, and now I'm at the other end of the spectrum. The only grain I'm eating is jasmine rice to try to maintain my weight. Susan, as an aside, rice, if it's white jasmine rice, will bind you up even further, so be careful there.
Right.
I love the SCD, but how do you get extra calories with bland, simple foods? I have IBS, diverticulosis, colitis, and I've had C. diff.
Okay. So this is, it's not like she's just embarking on this for, for the hell of it.
Yeah.
She has conditions that would respond to
the
specific
colitis,
carbohydrate diet.
The C. diff, IBS.
By the way, I just showed you a flyer about an SCD conference that's going to be held this fall.
Yeah.
I can't go because I'm going to be at my high school reunion, my 50th high school reunion in California, but maybe,
maybe
you
I'll
go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's up in the nice part of Massachusetts, up in the Berkshires, I think.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So how do you get extra calories with simple, with bland, simple foods? They don't have to be bland.
Well, what about fat?
Fat. Well, fat is good.
Yeah.
Fat is good. But saute those vegetables in garlic and olive oil.
Fat from the standpoint of the gastrointestinal tract most, unless you have a serious fat malabsorption problem.
That's true. That's true. And again, the
MCT oil, perhaps?
MCT oil is a great idea.
Yeah.
You don't have to choose
coconut oil, which is actually soothing to the gastrointestinal tract.
It is, so that can help. And that's also adding calories.
I just had a very nice, I got tired of eggs. You know, I tell people I have like 10, 12 eggs a week. But like I said, this morning I didn't want eggs, so I had some fresh fruit with nuts and not coconut milk, but coconut cream. Very thick coconut cream.
You made like a nut and fruit parfait
of
thing.
Yeah,
that sounds delicious.
And it was and put nuts on there and some flaxseed.
Mm-hmm.
And, a couple hours later, as we record this, I feel, a lot of satiety from that because of the fat.
Yes.
If I just had the fruit, I'd be hungry.
Oh, yeah. Because the fiber in the fruit is not enough to temper the absorption of the sugar in the fruit, and you're getting a big carbohydrate bomb.
I wanted the nuts for some protein and fat and fiber, and I wanted the fat from the coconut oil, because I knew that would tide me over to lunch.
Yeah. Susan, you have to eat higher calorically dense foods. Eat more, a little more avocado. Have some in your salad all the time. Eat fattier cuts of meat. Eat the dark meat of poultry. There's more calories there. There's also more nutrition there. There's more zinc and selenium in dark meat
Our
poultry.
Our experience with the specific carbohydrate diet and weight is, we see a lot of people who are compromised in their weight. And they go, oh my God, I'm going to be so restricted. Will I lose weight? And what happens is less is more. Mm. Their absorption improves.
Yes.
And
they're eating very nutrient-dense foods.
And they don't lose weight. And in fact, they might gain healthy weight.
Yeah, yeah. Eat nut butters. Eat nuts and seeds. There's lots of calories in nuts and nut butters. That's also helpful. If you were having cheese, because dairy is allowed on specific carbohydrate diet, make sure it's full fat. Make sure it's not non-fat or low fat.
Maybe you want to give, you know, as an adjunct, it's a little pricey, but it's a good product. It's the Elemental Diet products.
Mm.
The Integrative Therapeutics makes one. It's available on full script. We give that to some of the patients on the SCD as sort of a general insurance policy that they're getting adequate macronutrients and vitamins.
Mm-hmm. And some calories,
and
too.
It's SCD compliant. Mm-hmm. It's well-tolerated.
Yeah. Susan, really, you need a consult, so think about that.
Because she sounds like kind of a hard case, like she's been a rock in a hard place. She's not.
There's IBS, there's colitis, there's a history of C. diff. We have to see what else is going on. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. This would be a good consult.
Is SIBO a problem? Maybe she needs to get suppress the overgrowth of bacteria in her intestinal tract. Mm-hmm. The diet alone won't do that.
We need. And what's the cause of the IBS? That's the first thing I'd want to look at, right?
You know, sometimes.
That can help too.
You know, candibactin, we use AR and BR, and also we might use
Alimax.
Alimax if there's a methane predominant.
Or biocidin.
SIBO.
Is another good one.
Yes. Biocidin,
There's more and more SIBO. We're seeing more and more SIBO.
Yeah, we did a nice podcast on there with Gary Stapleton. He does our testing for SIBO with Aerodiagnostics Labs. And he really sheds some light on the nuances of testing. And, you know, the testing has to be done right and interpreted right.
Yes.
You know, that's, if A, it's got to be done right. And B, if the interpretation isn't proper, then you might miss a diagnosis of SIBO.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or not come up with the right therapeutic approach.
Good point.
Anyway, okay, well, hey, you know, guess what? Time flies when we're having fun.
Wow.
And we've just blown through our allotted time. But I want to thank you, Layla, for joining us once again, and thank you, listeners.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Hoffman.
Thanks for supporting our sponsors, and check out FullScript for some of the esoteric supplements that we tend to bandy about here on these podcasts. You can access FullScript via drhoffman.com, and drop-down menu, if you click on the store, it'll take you to a registration page for FullScript. You can register. You have no obligation to buy anything, but you can go in there and shop, and, you know, it's kind of like... A very, very well-curated vitamin outlet online.
Yes, it is.
For physician-quality products that are hard to access in retail stores.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks again. We'll be back next week for our weekly Q&A with Layla. Radio program at AOL.com for questions. Keep sending them. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Telligent Medicine.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.